Congressman Tom Rice of South Carolina is introducing a bill that would cut the pay of federal employees 8.7%, and it's titled the Promoting Accountability in Decisions for Progress Act, or the Paid for Progress Act. Congressman, thank you very much for joining me today. Why did you choose the number 8.7%, and what's the essential thumbnail of this legislation? Thank you for joining me today, sir.
No problem at all. The median household income has declined in the United States since 2008 by 8.7%. And at the same time, the wage of federal employees has increased with, I don't even know the nomenclature for the increases, but 1 or 2% over various years, by about 12 or 13%. So that has opened up a 20 to 21% additional spread in incomes. And I feel like a lot of the reasons why the median household income in the country has declined by 8.7% is because of action and or inaction by Washington decision makers and bureaucrats. And so I think one of the reasons why we suffer this decline in income is because of decisions made by people that don't feel the effects of those decisions. And I'm just trying to give everybody some skin in the game.
You
one thing you didn't mention is that my bill says that once this decline of 8.7%, then their income comes back up as median household income rises. So that if Washington acts to improve our economy and get things moving forward, then incomes rise.
One of the exclusions in your bill is active duty military officers, according to the material that I saw from your office. Some of them serve billets that the argument is aren't critical to national defense. Is it possible that they could become eligible for the pay cut if, through some analysis, their positions are determined not to be essential to national security? I understand why you want to exempt people who are crucial to national security, but I wonder if there are some of those folks that might not qualify for that.
Not under the wording of my bill, but you know, this is really kind of what I'm talking about, how decisions of bureaucrats can affect people's income and not hurt them. And so if I suppose a federal employee somewhere decided that that group of people should be affected and it doesn't hurt them, the decision makers, then, you know, I guess by some stretch that could happen. But under the terms of my bill, no. The answer is no. Active duty military are excluded, period. And also you need to mention, too, you didn't mention that this only applies to people who make over $100,000 a year.
Thank you for that correction, sir. Some of the people in that category include FAA or traffic controllers, VA doctors, others that are not decision makers regarding some of the regulations and so on that you write about as being problematic for the economy. Is there a way, or could you see a way, where they would be exempted from this and not affected by it, or is that not possible, do you think? At least it doesn't appear to be possible the way the legislation's currently written, but is that something that you think would be, that you'd be open to change in the future?
I don't think so. I think that what I would like to see is a circumstance where every employee, you know, everybody who works for the federal government works for the people. And so what I'd like to see is everybody who works for the people thinking about what's good for the people. And I want them thinking about, okay, how can my performance positively affect the people and positively affect me as well? Well, I'm trying to get them to approach things from the mindset of somebody who owns a business and is trying to look for ways always to improve, to be more efficient, to make things happen, to improve the business and improve the lives of the employees, And if you extrapolate that to the United States to make things better for the economy.
There's two possibilities here that I've run into some folks talking about, especially human resources experts in the government and groups that work with the federal government. One is the possibility of a lot of folks, especially at the retirement cusp, who would say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to retire, causing a potential brain drain. The other element is, are you confident that there would be enough people in the mid-level and lower level of federal employees who maybe wouldn't be affected by this immediately, but would be the ones that we would expect to fill in behind them and be able to continue the operations of the agencies?
I'm not really concerned about a mass exodus of federal employees over an 8% pay cut. When, as I said, their wages have risen 12 to 13% in the same time period that the average household income has declined by 8.7%. And you have to keep in mind, too, that, you know, it's not just that their incomes have gone down, but expenses have gone up. Things like their home utility bills with the war on coal and energy costs with these new EPA regulations. And, you know, just a food cost with the ethanol mandate. Ethanol, you know, energy ripples through food cost. And so at a time when we have thrust upon the American public an 8.7% decline in median household income, there these costs, you know, health care cost up 15 to 20%, food cost up 10 to 15%, energy cost up. Well, gasoline at the pump had doubled, but now it's come back. It's only about 20 to 25% higher than it was when the president took office now. But, you know, and actions by the federal government have given rise, have contributed to these increased costs. And again, I want the people that work for the federal government to recognize that their decisions have effect on everyday Americans. And I believe if those decisions have effect on their income, on the decision makers' income as well, that maybe we'll see a little change in the decision making.
You're tying the 8.7% cut in pay to the decline of the household income.
Median household income, that's right.
As that would increase, how much would the increase in federal employee pay be tied to that? Is there, would it be
the same percentage?
Is that permanent, or would it be applicable?
Under the terms of the bill, it's permanent.
What is the next step for this? I see it's been referred to the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Do you have a sense of when they may take it up?
I do not. I'm on the Budget Committee as well, and we've been kind of busy these last
yes, you have, sir.
Weeks, but we got our budget out today, and I'll start looking for some co-sponsors now.